Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the RCL Foods annual results for the year ended June 2017 conference call. All participants are currently in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions later during the conference. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero. Please also note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to the CEO, Mr. Miles Daly. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the RCL Foods results presentation for the year end of June. I will pick up the detail, the main points in my section, and leave the team to pick up the detail in their relevant section. So if I could ask you to turn to page three. As you can see, we've had a lot of one-off impacts in this year and last year, so we've shown a normalized view as well, and I think pleasingly our normalized view is up about 7% at a headline earnings level. Our revenue is flat, but we did take 15% out of the chicken volume, and we did very well in a market that was severely constrained. And, as you know, consumer groceries are well down over the last year. Also, we had some strong cash generation with an increase of about 56.8% from operations, and we turned out $2.3 billion in cash. The chicken shows early signs of recovery, and based on our new business model, however, the industry is still in crisis. You will see that we had some assistance from price increases in terms of our sugar recovery. Millbrake improves due to the turnaround of the Gauteng bakeries, and we're very pleased with the efforts there are now bearing fruit. And the chicken restructure impacts on logistics and animal feed H2 results, and we'll touch on that a bit later. Good turn to page four. I won't talk through the detail, but thought it useful just to remind you of our business model. In essence, it's all about maximizing the profit in our core categories, which we define as chicken, sugar, grains, and animal feed, accelerating growth in our added value categories, and there's a lot of work taking place in that regard, and Scott can touch on some of the innovation, and expand into new added value categories. And the vector logistics is our route to market. Not only does it look at our outbound supply chain, but also turning attention to our inbound supply chain, and we see opportunities in that regard. If you can turn to slide five, we're very pleased with the progress we've made towards creating one RCL Foods. The senior leadership are fully aligned in terms of our passion, our way, our business model, our strategic thrusts, and the leadership standards. Our corporate brand has been rolled out to all operations, and is now on most of our packaging and advertising. Our new structure is in place and the teams are functioning well, and we've made great strides in moving to one platform to investment in systems. If you can turn to slide six, as you know, we started sharing with you a couple of years ago our portfolio and looking at the six clusters, and you can see how it's changed over the years, but we certainly believe we're making good strides in moving towards a more balanced portfolio. Groceries is now our single biggest cluster, and that's the area where we will see innovation taking place over the years. The cyclical nature of sugar is very evident over the last 3 years, and bear in mind this is on a normalized basis, so we've taken out the insurance claim, as is the fact that chicken is in crisis, but we should see this improve in F18 with our new business model taking effect. If you can turn to slide seven. I thought we'd share with you what we've been doing over the last 2-3 years in terms of these portfolios, and just touching on some of the highlights. No doubt that we led the industry fight against dumping, including the unfortunate retrenchment of our 1,300 workers in Hammersdale and the management and workers marching together in the major cities. Our new business model has been implemented during this calendar year, and we're seeing early signs of good progress there. Groceries does have a strong brand portfolio, and we'll touch more on what we've achieved there. We've got a strong innovation pipeline, and we've invested to secure future growth in beverages and pet food. Sugar's made good strides in leading the industry in terms of reducing industry costs, and we've made some good strides in that. And a full recovery from a drought is only expected in F19, and we've explained that to you previously. If you turn over to slide eight, Millbake, as I mentioned earlier, the turnaround of the Gauteng bakeries is significant, and has had a big positive impact on the Millbake results. Fortunately, the milling volumes are still under pressure and the industry is in overcapacity, but we're working on plans in that regard. Animal feed, we successfully merged the two different animal feed businesses, namely EPOL and Molatech. We now have a clear strategy to diversify and grow into other animal feed categories. You'll see from the presentation we've already made strides in that area in terms of game and horse, and we're looking at other areas. And volume should improve now that the drought has broken and the cost of the raw materials will come down. Logistics is positioned to benefit from the changing customer landscape. As you know, we've spent $325 million on three major expansion projects. Those are all completed, and plans are in place to mitigate the impact of the chicken restructure. If you turn to slide 9, we have our six strategic thrusts. The first one is grow through strong brands, and it's evident there, and Scott and John will pick up in their respective sections, but we have made some good progress. If you turn to slide 10, partner with strategic customers. Our one customer team, including field sales in retail and wholesale, has step-changed our customer relationships, and we've seen the benefits of that. Similarly, the board-level engagement with our key customers has enabled us to drive common growth ambitions, looking at how we can improve our joint businesses as opposed to just discussions around price, which happens at a different level. In food solutions, we continue to grow our basket with current and new customers. We're able to leverage off that platform, and so that's also making good progress. If you go to slide 11, extend our leading value chain. A lot of work has taken place. We've already touched on the Vector investment. We've touched on the pet food plant, which is going to give us innovation and technology that's not currently available in South Africa, and we're very excited about the opportunities there. A higher proportion of our supplier spend is now under contract management, and we've generated good savings over the last 2 years, and this will position us to generate future savings as well. We've made very good progress with integrating business platforms, profitability systems, and aligning master data across business units. Buyers and beverages went successfully onto SAP during the year, and all business units have aligned their transactional systems with the group financial reporting calendar. So a lot going on behind the scenes which will bear fruit in future years. If you turn to slide 12, quite frankly, Africa remains a challenge, but we continue to pursue opportunities. And as we disclosed, our investment in Zambia was disposed of, with Zambia electing to settle our shareholding in cash. If you turn to slide 13, inspire great people. Significant investment is being made in growing our people and future leadership, and you can see what we're doing in terms of investment and the amount that we're spending. So that is also building a good team for the future. If you turn to slide 14, our sixth thrust is drive sustainable business. A lot of good work's taken place here as well. We completed the construction and commissioning of our first waste-to-value plant in Worcester, with water quality better than expected, and biogas production meeting 35% of our adjacent plant's energy requirements. And this is an area where we can look at exploring further in our other operations. We launched the Do More Foundation, which is a separate non-profit organization that drives all our CSI initiatives, enable us to partner with private or public organizations for bigger impact, and that's already starting to bear fruit. And we're also pleased to be only one of 11 companies in South Africa to achieve an A rating in the Global Carbon Disclosure Project in 2016. If you go to slide 15, these are the deliverables that we shared with you for 2017, and suffice to say we've made good progress against these deliverables. If you go to slide 16, these are the key deliverables for 2018. And in essence, we want to continue to grow our current platform and previous focus areas, in particular the areas that will have a big impact on our short-term performance. And those are to continue to invest behind our brands and systems, looking at the revised chicken business model, making sure that we continue with that implementation, mitigating the chicken restructure impact on logistics and animal feed, and Chris and team have plans in that regard. Maximizing efficiencies in sugar, we still see some good opportunities there, and continue with the turnaround in Millbank. I'd like to now hand over to Rob Field.
Thank you, Miles, and good morning, everyone. I'm going to kick off on slide 18, which summarizes the results for the year, and just really seek to set the context for the operational reviews that will follow. I'll talk through each of the material one-off items that Miles mentioned in later slides, but just to introduce and explain the reference to normalized earnings below, it is a reflection of our underlying performance, and as Miles mentioned, the 7.7% headline earnings growth, looking through all of the noise in the results. The crisis in the chicken industry has meant that we have also included a reflection of our trading performance, excluding our chicken business unit, and that's the numbers at the bottom of the slide 18, and you can see that's a flat result in a very difficult market context, but it's just another perspective. Lastly, on this slide, and only because it's not dealt with elsewhere in the presentation, a comment on our dividend declared. The final dividend of 20 cents brings the total dividend in line with the prior year, just shy of that underlying headline earnings growth of 7.7%. I'm not going to spend any time on slide 19 on market conditions. That's well known to the audience. So let me go on to slide 20, and I'll talk through each of these. Some of them are a reminder of things that we either reported in the previous year or in our interim results. The downsizing of the chicken business unit has had some very material impact on this year's results. The impairment of assets being the most significant, obviously excluded from our headline earnings reflection. The cash cost component of the restructuring cost which we incurred, which is the $43 million, and then some biological assets write-downs of $9 million. I think it's important for me to set the scene up front in regard to this. We did mention it at the interim, and now we've had 5 months since this restructure has taken place. It is a decision that we took at a total group level, so although we're seeing significant costs flowing through the chicken business unit, we are confident that both in the medium term and in the short-term results of these last 5 months, it bears out the decision to go ahead with this downsizing within chicken, despite the adverse consequences and impacts that's shown within the vector and animal feed businesses. So you'll see adverse numbers in each of their presentations when John and Chris talk to their sections, but know that the total answer from a group perspective is positive. The second item referenced there is something that you're aware of from our interim results, but just to remind you of the exit from the Zambian investments, the Zam Hatch and Zam Chick, which we initiated through our put options in March last year. Over last year end, we had that sitting as a foreign receivable. The cash was received in September, so we had a profit on that recorded in the previous year. And then with the exchange rate of the rand exchange rate movement since then, last year into September, when we received the cash finally, and we were obliged to report a foreign exchange loss of that $27.9 million. In this most recent period, the third item referenced there is had settlement and acceptance by our insurers of a silo claim which buckled at our Pongola mill. The total of that, as you see, is nearly 155 million, and the split out is given there. Just to note, obviously, the asset portion being the biggest portion, 109 million, is excluded from headline earnings. Over this, to the next slide, on slide 21, I'm not going to repeat the F-16 impact. That's just a reminder of material items that we had in the prior year. And then the last to bring to your attention is the IAS impact, and that we have done consistently over the years. Last year's adverse impact of unrealized losses of 80 million is reduced this year to only 32 million, and we've noted some of the declining market conditions that have contributed to those adverse unrealized positions being recorded. On to slide 22, gives you a graphical reference of our numbers on the EBITDA basis. And as published on the far extremes, 2016 walked forward to 2017. And as we sought to do with excluding all of these one-off impacts and restating our numbers onto a more normalized see-through basis, you can see how we've removed the IAS impact and the Zambian option impact, as well as then the chicken operation. So last year we had 158 million rand profit in the chicken operation, to derive a base of 1.617 billion for 2016. We exclude that chicken. So really what you have in the middle of that chart is the year-on-year movement referenced in the earlier table, which is obviously pretty flat. But here for the first time you can see some of the granularity of the movements within each of our segments and our divisions contributing to that overall result. And I'm not going to go through any of that detail. I'll leave it up to my colleagues to explain those movements. Slide 23 does a similar job in terms of walking forward then those statutory EBITDA numbers all the way down to our headline earnings. And so you can graphically see the contribution of each of those items. So our published headline earnings is down that 34.1%, But when you normalize for those items I've just walked you through, that's how you get back to the 7.7% actual increase of the prior year. Slide 24 and 25 really are just the numbers set in context for the results, 24 being the revenue split between our different segments, 25 EBITDA. But I think importantly, slide 26 normalizes the EBITDA numbers for each of the divisional references, so reconciles them back to our statutory reference, and then these numbers are the numbers that you'll see the divisional colleagues will take you through in terms of their underlying normalized performance. So I won't spend any time there either. Slide 27 gives you a reflection of the cash flow movements for this current year. I've got some specific slides on working capital and capex and our debt position. But I think the summation has to be it's been a good year. So despite a very challenged underlying operating performance environment that we traded within, very pleasing result within what we've been able to deliver through the focus on working capital, as well as a capex restriction and the receipt of the Zambian exit monies, as well as that improved working capital position, enabled us to early redeem some of our debt package, which is what you see at the bottom of that in terms of interest-bearing liabilities coming down by that $406 million. So that was the major contributor to that application of cash. Slide 28 then gives you further detail on our working capital investment, and it's clearly a very positive result for the year. Just to note that one asterisk against trade receivables, for this analysis, we've appropriately excluded that foreign receivable for the Zambian monies. So you can see kind of the underlying days and investment in working capital levels and improvements across the board. So our credit management continues to be a very strong effort within the business, delivering very sound results and improvement in the underlying days. Clearly, the absolute values are contributed to by the lower chicken volumes toward the back end of the financial year. But inventories have been well managed. The decrease in biological assets, again, is a function of less birds on the ground with the KZN restructure. And then other inventory benefits are, yes, the commodity markets are showing a decline from a pricing reference, but we've also had less buffer stock having coming out of the drought and being less reliant on imported materials for our operations. So the summation of all of it is a much improved picture, with our working capital as a percentage of revenue being down at 10.1%, and clearly a very, very good result compared to the prior year. Similarly, on slide 29 references the capital expenditure picture for the year and having been appropriately constrained. We're coming out of and have completed a number of the expansion projects in the prior year. We reference a few of them here in terms of the Vector to Kwene DC, completed in period, the beverage and pet food plants within the consumer division, as well as our continued path of implementing common ERP systems across the business. So despite all that activity, our both replacement and expansion spend is down for this period, and even on a forward-looking capital commitment basis, similarly demonstrating the frugality that we're bringing. Then lastly, onto slide 30, dealing with the debt package. For want of a better word, it remains a very tidy picture. Clearly, the receipt of the Zambian proceeds and a better working capital management has meant we've been able to repay the revolving credit facility early. And so we're sitting with a package of $2.85 billion at the moment, 2 years into that five-year package. The interest cost associated with this is in line pretty much with last year, with lower average balances during the year being slightly offset by the higher interest rates underlying and a small movement on the hedge cost associated with the remaining years of the package. And slide 31 is where I finish up, and the debt covenant reference, a full suite of green, lots of headroom reference there on the two key ratios that we need obliged to meet. So it's a good picture for where we stand at the moment. I'll hand over to Scott.
Thanks, Rob. As far as consumer division concerned, it would be fair to say that all South African retail indices at this point are very much under pressure. And it's been a very challenging year with consumer results severely impacted by the chicken business unit. We all know about the chicken dumping crisis that's at play, and I'll talk a little bit about, more about that just now. But it would be fair to say that nobody is growing volume in today's environment unless you're gaining substantial market share. Our grocery portfolio also operates within that tough environment, but pleasingly we've seen some very strong growth in market share and some growth in volume in our grocery portfolio. Moving on to slide 34. Chicken is starting to reap the benefits of the new business model, which Miles spoke about, and I'll give you a bit more detail in terms of quantums on the next slide. But also noteworthy is that our performance across all of our food brands, if you look at Asked, which is a company that aggregates and disseminates performance of markets, of the whole market, the grocery market versus our individual businesses, we're ahead of the volume trend and hence some of that translation into market share growth. Moving on to slide 35, if we have a look at chicken, we said the industry remains in crisis, that we have to take our destiny into our own hands with our new business model. You can see that in the second half, which is the introductory half of our new business model, we made $95 million in EBITDA versus very little in the first half of the year. Our bird numbers as a consequence of that move of ours to the new business model are down to 3.8 million per week from the 4.7 that we were at. Despite engagements with government around additional tariffs, which are ongoing, the dumping of lead quarters remains a huge concern. And if you look at the blue line graph on the right, the last 12 months have seen 240,000 tons of lead quarters coming into the country compared to 230,000 tons in the previous year. So continued growth of already record high levels of imports. What's happened there is that despite the EU contracting avian flu in many of the exporting countries, Brazil and the USA have filled the void that they left. So we still see dumped prices and dumped volumes at record levels. And if that wasn't enough, you will have read a lot about avian influenza in South Africa. It's the first time we've had high pathogenic avian influenza in South Africa ever. And obviously that presents a whole different ball game as far as how carefully one has to manage the biosecurity of your business. We've had one breeder site, which fortunately was almost at the end of its cycle anyway, and hasn't affected our volumes at all. But going forward, the South African poultry industry is going to have to operate in a completely different way as far as obsessive biosecurity is concerned, and we certainly plan to lead that charge. If we move on to slide 36, we look at added value chicken. We've had a really good run in retail, with Freezer Fryer reaching an all-time high market share and a very dominant market leadership position now. We overtook our nearest competitor during the financial year. And in chilled processed meats, innovation and input cost modifications have allowed us to grow our market shares in both Poloni and Vienna. And you can see the Vienna market share on the right growing to an all-time high as well. In the food solution space, which is actually the most important space for us in chicken, quick service restaurants have been under the same pressure that the rest of the grocery markets have been under. Over the last year, we estimate that volumes are about minus 5 to minus 7% below the previous year in grocery markets in general, and food service customers have followed that trend. But as a market leader in quick service restaurants, we're obviously getting some growth out of other areas where we utilize some of the capabilities that we have in sauces, in confectionery, and we've won a lot more market share of quick service restaurants in related categories and adjacent categories to chicken as well. Moving on to slide 37, come to our grocery business unit, which is a part of groceries. We've had really strong performance in this business unit. We now dominate the peanut butter and mayonnaise categories, and you can see the shares at the bottom with a half or more of the year having been market leader status for our two brands, Yum Yum Peanut Butter and Nona Mayonnaise, which we'd never achieved before. On top of that, even prior to all of this technology and innovation that's going to come in the pet food market over the next 6 months. We've had a really good year on pet food. Canine Cuisine, now market leader in the premium pet food segment of supermarkets, and Ultra Dog starting to challenge market leadership status in the vet channel. Canine Cuisine grew 57% in volume, and Ultra Dog grew 9% in volume. So against the grocery context of -5 to 7, very strong performances. It really puts us in a good position in pet food to take advantage of, as I said, the capital we've invested and the new technologies that we're going to be introducing over the next 18 months. Our Omar Rusk range has grown market share as well, and we've launched minis and more recently the premium home style range into that space as well. Moving on to slide 38. In Pies, taking over this brand was in some difficulty, but the work that we've made, that we've done has positioned us well, and we actually saw volume growth in Pies for the financial year against the difficult trading conditions of all of groceries. We launched a Mighty Fine range. We've relentlessly cut costs. We have very clear customer plans, and we are pretty confident that Pies will have an optimistic future. We've got a lot of innovation to come, an exciting innovation pipeline, and we still have some major cost-saving projects on the go. And that will support our view around the future of Pies. We move on to slide 39. Beverages has been a troubled space in the last financial year. You will have seen from other beverage companies that the cooler conditions resulted in very tough volume declines in all beverage categories. But on top of that, we had a withdrawal of our shelf-stable UHT product, which cost us money and cost the brand significant margin for the year. But we're in the process of relisting that now, along with a whole lot of other innovation, and as a result of that vigorous innovation program, we feel that beverages will have a much stronger year. And then lastly, on slide 40, speciality. Remember that the bulk of this division, this business unit is Woolworths. And Woolworths, as you would have seen in the newspapers the other day, is under as much pressure as all the other grocery categories. And so we are, to a certain extent, limited by, in our volume growth, by what Woolworths grows at. But we have done a lot of other work, which is around revamping and aligning our systems and controls to the RCL Foods consumer way. And those efforts are now gaining traction, and we feel that the division, the business unit, will be well positioned for the coming year. And with that, I'll hand over to John.
Thanks, Scott. Good morning, everyone. I think in our division, sugar and milling, we had a much better year. EBITDA up by 10.9% from the previous year, driven mainly by sugar and the baking operations. I'll skip slide 43 and go straight into 44, which talks to the animal feed business. Our EBITDA was down by 16.8%, driven primarily by the drought conditions in agriculture, the high cost of the raw materials, and also our position, our high commodity position against the relative spot price. And we also had on top of that, we also had a shortage of molasses. That was also as a result of the drought in the sugar and the sugar space. Fortunately, the commodity prices improved in the fourth quarter, and we started to see a positive trend coming through with volumes picking up slightly. Obviously, the impact on the poultry business also had an impact on our animal feed division. Talking to Milbake on slide 45, EBITDA was up by 2.4% on the previous year, and that was driven primarily, as Miles said earlier, by the performance in the bakeries. That came from better productivity and efficiencies, less wastage and less damages. We did also see some volume growth in terms of the volume and margin growth in terms of the other bakeries in our group. The milling side still is under pressure. We saw some declining volumes, again driven by our position on the raw materials and the high cost of raw materials due to the drought. Again, In the fourth quarter, we saw a reversal of this trend. Volume starting to pick up in the milling space, and it's looking a lot better for the coming year as a result of that. It is highly competitive in the milling space. It is an oversupplied market, and we're always under pressure in the marketplace and the milling. But as I say, volumes are improving in the last quarter, and we're looking to a better space in the new financial year. If we turn to sugar on page 46, the normalized EBITDA increased by 59.5%, and that was driven primarily by prices, the two price increases that we were able to effect during the year. Drought still has played a significant impact on the performance of sugar. We're still well down in terms of volumes there, which we have been improving towards the latter part of the year, and hopefully in the coming year we're going to see ourselves normalizing again in terms of some of the production. As a result of the drought, crystal production was well down, and this impacted on our sales volumes, which were also down. Importantly, we can see that we are recovering as our manufacturer's share is moving back upwards from the 51.1% to 54.8% towards the end of the year. So we are starting to recover. The crop is looking a lot better. We have water, and so the future is looking a bit brighter. However, we need to also highlight the issue around sugar imports, which you can see on page 47. The global market in terms of sugar is moving back into a surplus over consumption. That's driving sugar prices, global sugar prices down, which impact on us when we need to export sugar. And of course, as imports increase, we put in a position where we have to export our sugar at lower prices. Currency also plays into that space. The current sugar tariff has really not provided us the protection, and you can see from the increasing number of imports over the year, and that was there was a direct correlation with the reduction in the tariff down to zero. Fortunately, it looks like we have triggered an upward trend again in terms of the tariff, and we're looking for likely to get some protection as a result of that once those tariffs have been gazetted. I think that's all in terms of the sugar imports, and with that I will hand over to Chris.
Thanks, John. If we move to page 49 for the logistics division, we see revenue growth of 2.3% to just over 2 billion. EBITDA contracting by 22% to just over 203 million. Now that is due to, as Miles already said, the significant impact of the chicken restructure on our business, with us now focusing on winning new business and adjusting our cost base appropriately. Other headlines I'll talk to, the weak economy stifles growth in retail, with food service volumes under pressure. Our business was also impacted by excess market capacity for bulk cold storage. Pleasingly on the upside, I'll talk to the latest pleasing extension of customer contracts and a sound performance in our sales and merchandising business unit. Turning to page 50, the headline there reads, Chicken Crisis Impacts Logistics, Mitigation Plan Being Implemented. If we exclude the impact of the chicken business unit downsizing, the logistics division underlying EBITDA would be 247 million, or 5.3% down on 2016. And that impact would be due to the excess capacity in the bulk cold storage market, as I said a bit earlier. So to mitigate the impact of the loss of the chicken volumes, we're focusing on new business and bringing very, very targeted new business, and also looking at restructuring our cost base with focus on network hub and transport optimization. If we turn to page 51, we said it already, the weak economy impacts retail, food service shows signs of pressure, and really just the last point, the bulk cold storage market demand reduced due to pressure on retail volumes, which results in excess market capacity. Turning to page 52, so given some of the impacts on our business, a very strong focus for us on winning new business and bringing in new volume. Pleasingly, we've been awarded a long-term contract for Pick and Pay total frozen distribution, a first in South Africa in the cold storage environment. So very pleased with that development. It's been a long, hard slog to bring that across the line. Also pleasingly, Nando's continues its partnership with Vector by renewing its supply chain agreement and good growth in our sales and merchandising business unit due to new business take-on and improved volumes in some of the sugar group business. With that, I hand you back to Miles.
Thanks, Chris. If I could ask you to turn to slide 54, which is prospects. There's no doubt that economic growth will continue to be lackluster in the coming year. Scott pointed out there's some real concerning trends in retail sales, which have been declining for 7 of the last 8 months. And in fact, July month was down on July month last year, which in turn was down. So we've seen some real signs of big pressure. So we don't see much demand taking place, and we'll have actually declining volumes. And as Scott pointed out, unless we do something internally in terms of innovation or gain market share, we won't be growing volume. So that's where a lot of effort is going in. On a positive note, with the drought being broken, we've got an improved supply of crops, and that's expected to bring relief to consumers and assist in restoring margins. The implementation of the revised business model in chicken, coupled with anticipated lower input costs, is substantially improving profitability, and we highlighted the improvement in the second 6 months versus the first 6 months. Production volumes in sugar should improve, as John mentioned, on the back of renewed irrigation, although the increasing trend of sugar imports and its impact on local sugar remains a major concern. As you pointed out, though, we have triggered a duty, and we're expecting some relief in that regard soon. We'll continue to focus on innovation, and our recent capital investments have presented further opportunities to improve, create new product ranges and service offerings. In particular, we've touched on today the pet food investment, which we see as a very exciting area for growth given our unique advantages of being the only South African-based manufacturer that will have technology that's equivalent to anything that you'll find around the world. We've made the investments in Vector, and we've made investments in UHT, and in spite of difficult launch, we're back on track to achieve what we set out to do originally. Chris has touched on the targeting new business and cost containment initiatives. There's some very clear plans in place to mitigate against the impact of losing the chicken volumes. And we're going to continue with the internal opportunities in synergies, overhead savings, and production efficiencies that flow from our one RCL Foods initiative. And as we mentioned before, in the sourcing area in particular, we've gained significant benefits, and we see significant benefits still in the years ahead. So I think, in short, in spite of demand being constrained, we remain confident in our strategy and making steady progress towards our objective of creating our purpose of and passion of getting more food to more people more often and building a really strong portfolio of brands. Thank you. We'll now hand over for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star and then 1 on your touchtone phone. If you decide to withdraw your question, please press star and then 2 to remove yourself from the queue. Again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and then 1 now. We will pause a moment to see if we have any questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the webcast, could you please refresh your page by pressing F5 so that the Q&A tab appears on your screen and you'll be able to ask questions via the webcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and then 1 now.
Thank you.
It would appear that we have done have any questions in the question conference call at the moment. My apologies, we do have a question from Tumisho Motlante of Coronation. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning, gents. Thanks for your time this morning. Scott, if I can just ask you on the grocery business, it looked like although you held share and I guess grew share in some of the main categories, it looked like a lot of price was taken. Can you talk to what the pricing environment has been like in the core categories? Because it looks like the margin erosion in H2 was worse than H1.
The issues we had in groceries outside of chicken were around two business units, one being beverages, where we obviously had significant costs of the recall, which was mainly the second half of the year. And then in speciality, we had some efficiency issues in the factory in December. The balance of the portfolio, no, we didn't compromise costs. We grew share and we grew our revenue in equal proportion.
So, Scott, are you saying that ex-beverages and ex-speciality, the rest of the grocery category held or opened up margins?
Yes, that's true. We actually increased margins.
Ah, all right.
I have a question on the webcast, and it's probably for Scott as well. It's from Siddharth Sabu. How much is IQF contribution in current chicken business?
I don't have the exact number here, but, you know, we used to produce about 500 to 600 tons a day of IQF, and we now produce 100 tons a day. So it's one-fifth of the contribution we used to have.
We don't have any further questions in the queue. Sorry, again, we've got a question from Jiten Vechu of Avior. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you for the time today. The question is basically around the sugar business and just the extent of the decline in actual production. I know you guys did say that your sales volumes were down 22%, but I was just wondering what the production volumes were down by for this year.
The production volumes were down about 30%, and we're starting to see the recovery. Yields are starting to climb. We did replant all our fallow lands that we had abandoned because of a shortage of water. So we're starting to see the numbers starting to head back to a normalized situation. And as Miles said, we should be by 2019 back into a full production situation. So we are improving and we're starting to see the benefits of increased yields and improved cane quality, which is enabling us to make more sugar as well. So 30% down was the figure originally.
Tommy, the statement that you will be back to pre-drought volumes, I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, your capacity is sort of in just above 600. So, could we expect you to be closer to that number, is what you're saying, by 2019? And will it be more backloaded or more front-loaded, do you think?
I think it would be safe to say that it probably would be, I wouldn't say either back or front-loaded at this stage, and it would be better than the numbers that you mentioned in terms of total volumes. We should be getting back to closer to 700,000 tons of sugar, and I think that we would look at an even spread in terms of the improvement from now till 2019.
I have one more question, John, I suppose, for you. It regards the wheat tariff. There's been basically some triggers that have taken place where we could potentially go from 930 odd rand to 340, I think it is. And I was just wondering if there has been any further development on the actual promulgation of that potentially lower duty on wheat.
I think it's very similar to the sugar information. I think there have been, and we have been in discussion with the various ministries, and in fact even challenged them in some instances. We are hoping that these new tariffs, which have been triggered in both instances, which I'm sure you're aware of, will be gazetted very soon. we are engaging with the various government ministries at the moment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to take some on the webcast, if you don't mind.
Very well.
Chris, can I go ahead on the webcast?
Yes, you may. There's still a question in the queue.
Okay, there's also from Siddharth again for Scott. Did you already see benefits of lower maize in H2?
Yeah, hi, Siddharth. We saw very little, only right at the back end, but our benefits actually are started in our new financial now.
Thank you.
Okay. I've got another one also from Siddharth for John in the sugar space. If prices stay at current levels, will we continue to see impact on EBITDA margin given H2 2017 normalized margins were very low versus H1?
I think that's quite a tricky question to ask. I think that obviously we're coming out of a situation where margins were quite high. But as I say, we'll respond to improved production, which will have an impact in terms of the cost of production. So I would say it might remain pretty flat at the position that we have at the moment.
Okay, back to you, Chris.
Thank you. Our next question is from Colin Greaves of AfroAsia. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. My question relates to your continental aspirations. I see you mentioned that you continue to pursue opportunities in Africa, but you're cautious. Are we likely to see anything concluded in the next 6 to 12 months?
Hi, it's Rob. Yeah, I'm happy to take that. We continue to look at those opportunities. It's difficult for us to say which ones we might or might not land. So the intent is certainly there. We do have some in the pipeline as we speak at the moment, but probably sufficient guidance to say there's nothing of significance in that space. So we remain committed to it, and yeah, time will tell whether we're able to land some further deals.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a final reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and then one.
Okay, I've got two here on the webcast. Firstly, from Myron from MIBFA. Improvement in Gauteng bakeries. Has there also been a pickup in volumes? And if so, are you making inroads into the independent and informal market in Gauteng?
Yes, the short answer is yes, we have seen a pickup in volumes, and we are looking to see whether we can, it's early days, but we are looking to see whether we can get into that informal market for our products. But the quality of our bread has improved significantly, and we're starting to see the volumes tick up.
I've also got one from Brendan. It's for Chris in the logistics space. Please, can you comment, one, on the capacity utilization levels now versus prior to the chicken restructuring, and then we'll come back to part two.
Yes, thank you for the question. Certainly, we have got capacity, and as we've said, we are looking to fill that capacity. I'm not going to comment on the absolute levels right now, but suffice to say that we have got very targeted plans. We are also doing cost mitigation process and optimization of network and transport. So we address the volume and capacity issues in that way as well.
And then part two of that question, should we view the H2 logistics margin be the new base provided volumes cannot be replaced by external clients or contracts?
So I would say it's going to take us some time to recover. It doesn't happen overnight, so obviously the cost containment initiatives happen a little bit faster. Revenue is very targeted to certain customers, so we know what we're going after, but those don't always just happen at a flick of a switch. So there is a time lag, but our view is that we're looking to recover the business fully. That's with the caveat of a time lag, as I've said.
Another one from Taule in APSA Capital. On sugar, you highlighted the challenges relating to the global sugar oversupply. How low do you anticipate sugar prices going down by in the current year to counter that? How much of your sugar is exported?
Okay, let me answer the second part of that question first. The quantum in terms of the sugar exports is really dependent on how much sugar is imported, and we hope that the tariff will slow the imports down. So, you know, it's a moving target to give you a number there. And in terms of the price, the global prices, I think we probably bottomed out at around the 14 cents per pound at the moment. We know that in Brazil, the break-even sugar to ethanol is around 13 cents a pound. So it will suck up a fair amount of sugar into the fuel pool if the price drops any further. So there should be some support around the 14 cents. We're hoping that it may even recover a little bit if Brazil takes a different view in terms of their fuel subsidies and their pricing in terms of their gasoline markets there, which might increase the demand for sugar into ethanol going forward. So I think we probably bottomed out, and maybe there's a little bit of upside there.
Okay, there's another question from Myron on chicken pricing dynamics. There has been significant industry cutbacks but also increased imports, and in spite of the avian flu in Europe, what has the pricing been in the last quarter in the more commoditized IQF end of the chicken market?
Pricing in the last quarter has been pretty much the same as the pricing in the quarter before that, perhaps marginally up. So there has been very little change in the demand and supply dynamic in the last quarter.
Chris, do you have any more in the audio line?
We don't have any questions in the queue at the moment.
I have no more questions on the webcast.
Okay, Chris, I think we'll close up if there are no more questions. So just a big thank you to everyone for dialing in, and we look forward to a good year. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes today's conference call, and you may now disconnect your lines.